The seeds of the farm slump were as far-flung as the Asian financial crisis and as down-home as weather, overproduction, and disease. It was a year when Minnesota farmers took home their first billion-bushel corn crop, a record soybean harvest, and wagons full of red ink. The farm crisis of 1998 took hold first in the Red River Valley before rolling south, as cold and unforgiving as an Arctic front. It left in its wake farmers disillusioned at their role in the nation's food system.
You could just as well go and carry groceries at Hugo's and forget about the misery and headache, because that's all we're doing is beating our head against the wall out here. We employ 50% of the workforce in this country, feed the whole damn world, and we can't feed ourselves.
Steve Panic and his father went out of business last spring, unable to get an operating loan for their Northwest Minnesota farm. Scores of wheat farmers in the Red River Valley went out of business this year, ruined by several consecutive years of bad weather and disease. The fungal blight bedeviling wheat growers has a name as repellent as its damage, scab. It's cost Northern Plains farmers an estimated $1 billion this decade.
And when you get over there, start along at 200. 200 to get 200, 100, 100 to get 100, 100 to get 1, 1, 1 to get 1, 1 to get 1, 1 to get 1.
Scab was just one problem facing farmers. Take Red River Valley producer Randy Oz. Beset by drought, floods, and low grain prices, he's only had one profitable year in a decade. He sold out last spring.
Now that I'm getting out of it, I wouldn't get back in it right now here for any amount, because I'm owing what I owe to the bank. By the time I clear up them guys, I'll be happy to be out of it. So all I know is every farmer I know that has quit farming hasn't regretted it.
By year's end, it was predicted 60% of Northwest Minnesota farmers may not qualify for spring planting loans because they're in such poor financial shape. The economic tremors in the Red River Valley were quickly followed by apprehension in southern Minnesota, where crop prices fell faster and further than anyone had seen before.
The farm economy is pretty dismal right now with the current prices of both corn and soybeans.
Southern Minnesota farmer Brian Rumsdahl could only watch as the mountains of grain he and other farmers produced drove down prices.
If it truly is a supply and demand market, and you're supplying more than what the demand is, it's financial suicide.
Adding to the problem was a decline in world demand for U.S. farm products. The biggest drop was Asia, where devalued currencies made American commodities unaffordable. University of Minnesota farm analyst Seaford Runge said the price drop left farmers virtually no profitable refuge.
Livestock prices and grain prices often run in ways that cause them to be offsetting, that is not true at the moment, and that we have fairly low prices, for example, in the hog market, combined with dropping prices in the corn market.
There was one exception, though, to the dreary price picture. Driven by strong butter and cheese demand, the price of raw milk soared to record levels during 1998. That was welcome news for an industry which had lost 3 farms a day for years. Still reeling from that disaster, Minnesota dairy farmers like Jerry Dennison welcomed the higher prices, but were cautious about how long they would last.
These are really bonus times, and I think you plan your business or you run your business that during these times, that's when you can make your improvements. You retire debt, but you don't plan on this kind of price forever. That's just poor business.
Most farmers, though, things got worse as the year went on. Many, like this farmer singer at a rally in Worthington, blamed the government for their problems.
I remember back in 96 when we got the freedom to farm. The government said everything would be fine. No one should raise an alarm. But when I read the fine print, I knew we were in for a change. When you take away the farm safety net, ain't nothing gonna be the same.
Freedom to Farm legislation is supposed to end direct government farm subsidies and most of government's role in agriculture by 2002. It already has eliminated government control over how much corn and other grain farmers grow. With controls gone, farmers planted every available acre, contributing to the oversupply and falling prices. Farmers like Brian Rumsdahl like to call the legislation freedom to fail.
I don't have a very rosy picture of, the future if this is kind of the precedence.
But even though low prices are driving farmers down to their bottom line, some defend freedom to farm. The legislation makes direct government payments to farmers through 2002 when the subsidies will stop. These payments are supposed to ease the transition of American agriculture from government control to the free market. Southern Minnesota farmer David Rowe said the legislation is painful but necessary.
We don't subsidize the hardware store owner or the small manufacturer. Why should we subsidize the person involved in production agriculture?
But even as freedom to farm is debated, steps are being taken to undercut the legislation. University of Minnesota farm analyst Seaford Runge predicts political realities will override political philosophy.
The fact is that if you have a substantial number of farmers in your congressional district, you see it properly as your job to respond to their concerns, to suggest that they would have nothing to do in these areas simply goes against the nature of the political beast.
Runge's prediction came true in October when Congress passed and the president signed a $7 billion emergency farm relief package. The money, along with record crops, will ease the impact of low prices but won't cure farmers' financial ills. And as the year ends, what may be the worst of 1998's farm problems is taking shape.
Right now I'm looking at 1,300 head of hogs that I need to sell in the next 4 weeks. I stand to lose $65,000 to $70,000 in the next 3 weeks.
At a meeting in Marshall, Randy Wurtsma of Rushmore described the flood of red ink his farm faces. Hog prices have collapsed. Calculated in constant dollars, they may be even lower than during the Great Depression of the 1930s. Faced with financial ruin, farmers like Dave Overman lash out, saying the hog oversupply is caused by the rapid growth of large-scale corporate farms.
I think them corporates are screwing us little farmers down the tubes. You should put moratorium on nationwide on them damn barns.
Yeah.
Put them out of business. Don't put us out of business.
There are calls for federal help to save pork producers. For many, though, any help will be too late. Escalating debt means they can't get a loan to save their business. As the new year begins, credit will be the major concern for all farmers. Ahead are weeks of negotiations and fine-tuning as they work to get the money they need for another year. This is Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio.